So what's up, people? It's Monday, and it's a pretty good one so far. And we are joined right now by our friend Jay Moore, who is launching a new comedy tour. It starts this week. And Jay, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you, man?
Yeah, the band's coming back together. How you boys?
Great, man.
Jay, great to have you on. And this is not just any tour. This is the reopening of the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. The name of the tour is Straight Out of Rehab. So do you talk during your set when you're up doing stand-up about your experience with rehab?
Look, man, if you don't laugh, you cry. Yeah, like, well, I mean, what else would I want to talk about? There was an intervention. I've been sober 2 years.
Congratulations. And,
good for you.
Thank you. And look, there was an intervention for me at my house.
Who was at the intervention? You know, who showed up?
You got to lie to a drug addict, Mace, to get them to their intervention, because you can't just say, like, hey, why don't you come over and watch TV, because we won't show up, or we'll be like, something's up, no way.
Right.
So mine was at my house. So let you know how on drugs I was. They had to figure out a lie to get me to show up to my house.
Wow.
You know, where my groceries are.
Wow.
And the lie they told me, Mace, they told me the next morning at 8 a.m. I was going to interview Wu-Tang Clan on my podcast.
Wow, what? That somebody came up with a good one. So
and
did you fight
so
it?
High. Hold on. And I was so high that I believed them. I thought Wu-Tang Clan was coming to my house at 8 in the morning. I don't know if you listen to Wu-Tang Clan, but they're not morning people.
Yes. Yes. So
by the way, an intervention is like the worst surprise party ever.
Yeah. We did one for my pop. It was not a lot of fun for my dad, for sure.
All right, so Jay, this is, and by the way, so a little background on the Ice House in Pasadena where Jay's going to be. And what is the exact date that you're doing this show, Jay?
Thursday night, March 30.
All right, Thursday night the 30th, and it's a Jeannie, I guess, and for people who don't know, Jay's engaged to Jeannie Buss. And Jeannie,
I had not heard that.
Jeannie is going to open for you, Jay?
She's bringing me up on stage. I don't know if she's, maybe she puts together a tight five. I don't know. That's up to her.
Does she have a tight five?
No,
is she
I
an opener?
Saw her do stand-up 1 year. We were at training camp in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeannie did stand-up, and she killed it. She was great. But let me say this. I've seen Jay twice in concert doing stand-up, and it's absolutely unforgettable. If you can get there on Thursday the 30th, you will laugh your ass off, and you'll remember it forever. I think you're as good at this as anybody who's done it. And I've got a bunch of questions for you, but one is, do you have to watch it in 2023 more than you did, let's say, in 2013? Do you have to be more careful as a comic than you used to be, or do you just say, screw it, I'm doing my show?
No, you definitely got to be more careful. You know, but those jokes that are like borderline that could get me in trouble, they're not that important to me. Like, if you don't have hours of material 33, 34 years in, you should probably get out of the business. But there's definitely like a sea change where anything having to do with any minority, any ethnic group, if you just mention it, the crowd kind of goes cold, and I'm a validation addict. I want people to have like the best time. So
right.
Yeah, I'm definitely aware of it, but I haven't really had to jettison that many jokes.
So what was it, as we talk about your drug use, what was rock bottom for you?
Well, rock bottom is when I stopped digging. You know, I was at the Tempe Improv. And my agent told me at my intervention, I was the last guy to know my life was a mess. My agent told me at my intervention he wouldn't book me anymore unless I went to treatment, because at the Tempe Improv, the audience filled out all the comment cards, those little mini golf pencils on the table.
Yeah.
There was like 100 of them saying, like, this guy's a wreck. I was missing teeth. I was forgetting my punchlines. I was like dripping with sweat because I was whacked out on Adderall. And, So losing stand-up comedy was the bottom. Like, because what am I going to do, Mace? Get a job? I'm going to work at Home Depot? Hey, were you the guy in Jerry Maguire? Yeah, you wanted a Phillips head?
Yeah. What was, as you go back, is being a comic somehow inducive, or does it sort of give you the opportunity to, because you're at night, it's at clubs, all that kind of stuff. Was that part of the problem?
No, I was, the problem's between my ears, you know, and I was born with the problem for sure. And the, but that stand-up life, it accommodated the problem and like watered it, fed it sunlight every day. Because look, I get applause on the way to work. When I'm walking to the stage, everyone goes, yeah. Then I talk for an hour. And if you talk, you get thrown out. Only I'm allowed to talk. King baby. And then when I'm done, you give me applause. And then I sit in the hotel room for 22 hours alone. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. So then you start picking up your phone and ordering some dry goods.
Yeah, right. How as you go back and you think about it, when I'm trying to think how to phrase this, how long did it take to put together this set, and how difficult was it?
It was pretty hard. It took about a year to get it together, because when I got out of rehab, I went to two rehabs back to back. So I was gone for 2 months. And then I just, to keep everybody like off my back, essentially, I just went all in on recovery, thank God. So that's like all I did. And then it was during COVID, so there wasn't a lot of spots anyway. And when I went back on stage, it was like the fire was out, but there was like a little pilot light still inside, like where I could still kind of get my way through the jokes. I didn't remember how a lot of it went. But then I turned a corner, like a year of sobriety. I just started talking. I did a show, an outdoor show, and there was another sober comic on the show. He goes, hey, there's like two sober livings here in the audience. You should talk about rehab. And I went, oh. So I just went up and I did like 20 minutes just telling about like what happened to me at rehab and detox and the intervention, and it killed. And I felt like an idiot. I'm like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be talking about. That's the message now. So and now it's all ready to go. And look, man, this is what's up. I love stand-up comedy so much. What a life. I got it back. I'm alive.
Man, you're so good at it. And it really, I mean, I love stand-up comedy too. I can't do it like you can, but I've seen a lot of people. And I just did a thing at the Hermosa Comedy and Magic Club,
yes,
where they did 20 comedians doing 5 minutes each, just different guys coming up there, and it's hard,
man.
Jay, you have a gift.
I would not be able to do 5 minutes. If I was coming up now, I wouldn't be in the business, because 5 minutes, I'm still stretching.
Yeah, right.
You go to work, you don't get started right away. You get on the computer, you go get a coffee. Like, come on, let me warm up a little. 5 minutes.
Is it true that pain plus time equals comedy?
Sure. I don't know.
That was a philosophical question, Jay.
in this specific case, yes, because it was the most painful thing I've ever gone through in my life, and now it's like shooting fish in a barrel on stage telling these stories.
All right.
You know what? You want to know what happened? When my interventionist was like an old meth guy, and he had like tattoos of pit bulls on his neck, and once you do a lot of meth, you never really lose that look. Like the baggy denim jeans and the Vans and like the cross earrings and the Metallica t-shirt cut under the arms, the skinhead. And when I swear to God, when he took me to detox, I was wearing a USA Wrestling sweatsuit. I looked like a DuPont. And when he took me to detox, they pulled him inside and thanked me for dropping him off and closed the door.
Oh my gosh. Jay Moore is our guest.
They said, we'll take it from here. And I was like, yeah, keep an eye on this guy. He's telling a lot of lies today. And then they closed the door, and I was going to run for it. But I'm like, I don't know where I am. And that guy was my ride.
Wow. I knew you then and didn't know you were going to, you know, to the depths you were going to. Hey, what's it like? You go to a ton of Laker games. You go to almost as many as me. And oftentimes you're sitting with Jeannie down there in that area where Jeannie and her friends sit. What's it like watching a game with Jeannie?
Well, I think she's a lot different with me than without me.
Right.
Well, I guess that's normal because she's real silly with me. And it's just hearing her, like, it's fun. It's really fun. And obviously when they lose, it's, you know, it's a ride home and it's like a long night. Like, ugh. But when it's cooking, it's the best. And I get to watch the woman I love, like, come to life and get excited. And, you know what, John? It's nice to be Robin for once. I've been Batman my whole life.
Sure.
and every relationship. And now it's so nice to just be Robin, and she gets. I'm with somebody like way more famous than me. It's fantastic.
So how'd you fall in love?
She was on the radio when I had a radio show produced by Greg Bergman. I might add. Way to go, Greggy!
Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
She was a guest on my radio show, and I completely imagined that I was catching vibes from her on the phone during an interview. I'm like, oh, this chick's totally into me. This is great. I'm going in for the kill. So, total delusion. So I slid into the DMs, as the kids say, and I asked her to do my podcast. And then when she did the podcast, she came off of the elevator, and it was like slow motion. And I really like fell in love with her when I just watched her walking toward me. I was like, holy smokes.
But so happy for you and for her, for both of you guys. It's great. All right, so, Jay, I just went to the website, icehousecomedy.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it says...
Which website?
Well, I'm on the Ice House website. I'm on, it says icehousecomedy.com. It says it's already sold out. Is that news to you?
That's news to me.
Well, good for you. I mean, it's going to be packed. I would encourage
you. The fans out there, they can pepper the Ice House. Maybe we add a show. Don't be denied, people. Let's go. Let's add a show.
Oh, that'd be
especially
awesome.
Especially if you're an addict. Yeah. Look, man, you see how fat I got, John, in sobriety? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, that and all the free food at Crypto.com Arena that you and I have access to doesn't help either. I turn left and right, and somebody's handed me a shish kebab or a piece of carrot cake or something. It's crazy.
I don't know what part of the arena you're in that they got shish kebabs.
Yeah,
I want in.
Yeah. Hey, so let me ask you about this. You watch as many Laker games as anybody I know. I'm encouraged. I was so disappointed yesterday because they've been playing so well defensively and they had an off day. But I, in the back of my mind, I think we're kind of the team nobody wants to play if we get LeBron and AD up to speed. So I'm pretty confident, but it may be just my heart and not my head. What do you think?
I feel the same way, and I feel great about next year, too, because we have the bird rights for D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if we sign D'Angelo and we go into the season with, like, D'Angelo, LeBron, and AD, I'm like, heck yeah. But have you noticed since all the new guys got together that when this team gets hot, like in a quarter, it changes so fast. It's like a house on fire. They'll be down 6, and then they go up, like, 18. It feels like 3 possessions almost. It's just like, whoa, what the hell just happened? Like when they start knocking in the shots and Vanderbilt's flying around doing his skinny Charles Oakley impression.
Yeah, he's been great. And by the way, the guy I love, Jay, more than anybody is Austin Reeves. I think that they just I love the way he plays. I love his aggressiveness. I think he almost always makes the right play. I think he's part of the core moving forward. You mentioned Vanderbilt. They've got him signed next year for $4 million, which is nothing in the NBA.
Man, that's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
More than I'm making. Jeez.
Yeah, well, me too. I'm encouraged. I mean, this road trip is obviously going to be hard. This one we're leaving on tomorrow, and that's why I can't go to your show. But I will be. I'll be rooting for you from afar, man. I'm so excited that you're back doing this because I think you were born to do it. And the couple of times I've seen you live, you really blew me away at how good you are at this. So I can't wait to see you back.
I've learned recently. I was born to help others, but I was born to be a comedian also. So I love you, dude. I listen every damn day. This is my jam.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. All the time. You've been great to us.
And yeah, it means a lot.
And we can't wait to see you kind of get back out there and doing your thing. So Ice House Comedy or icehousecomedy.com is the website. Like Jay says, pepper them. Maybe they'll add another show. And most of all, Jay, good luck on Thursday. Have fun.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, see you, boys. Keep it up.
See you. Thank you.
There's Jay Moore.
Not really.
No, not really. There you go. There's a little Sean.
He does listen all the time. He texts me all the time and says, "Hey, you forgot about this, or you forgot about that, or blah blah blah." All right, so we'll get to your Dodger stuff coming up.
Oh yeah, Dodger stuff coming up. Ideal Dodger lineup for Thursday night and beyond. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So today was the launch of the Blue Review. Greg Bergman, CY.
Yes, sir.
Is it up yet? Can we watch it yet?
I don't know if it's up. I don't think it's up yet, but it will be soon.
Waiting.
Soon.
I'm waiting.
Baseball.
How much of the 15 minutes will you actually watch?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah, seven.
You'll get through 7 minutes?
I've got 7 minutes in.
Greg, if it was any other day.
Okay, first of all, I wasn't even asking you, John, because the answer was zero right off the bat.
okay, so I brought this up because...
By the way, Ted Lang... Isaac from
Ted
the Love Boat.
Lang,
get him on.
One.
That's a little bit.
Love that's our TED Talk. Yeah, exactly. So I asked this question. What is the ideal Dodger starting lineup? I looked at what it was last night, and it does suggest some stuff.
All right, so I wrote this down. You guys are more avid followers of the Dodgers than I am, so you guys just tell me where I screwed up, okay?
Okay.
Leading off right field, Mookie Betts.
That is correct.
Batting second, Freddie Freeman, first base.
Bingo.
Batting third, this is probably higher up in the order than you guys have him, J.D. Martinez, D.H.
I do have J.D. Martinez, D.H. batting third.
I think there's going to be some movement there at some
point. There'll be movement, but I like J.D. Martinez in the three hole.
Starting off there, sure.
Batting fourth, because I want to go left, right, Will Smith, catcher.
I've got Will Smith at catcher batting.
It's either Will Smith or Max Muncy.
Okay, no, I have Muncy fifth, so that way you're going
left, right.
I also have Muncy fifth.
Okay, now this is where I think that it's going to change. What the hell? Batting sixth, James Outman left field.
It's not a terrible idea.
I would like him up right around that spot. I don't want him at the bottom.
I've got CT3 if he's playing left field.
Either one.
Six, and then Outman.
Okay. Seventh, Trace Thompson, center field.
Yeah, or well, you've got Outman in left. I've got Outman
got
in
Taylor
center.
And
Trace is either going to be eight or nine.
All right, well, I have Vargas eighth playing second base and Rojas ninth playing short.
Exactly.
So the two Miguels, eight and nine.
What I've got. That's what I've
got. I wouldn't mind seeing a switch in Rojas and Vargas and having Vargas ninth. So remember when they had Gavin Lux be the ninth?
Yeah.
And you think he's that guy? You've seen enough to think he's that guy.
I think he could be that guy more than Rojas.
He looked good last night.
Sure. More than Rojas, I think he can be that guy, and he has a little bit more speed. So I think having him at that bottom to kind of be the trendsetter right at the top again.
The outfield situation, I mean, I mentioned Chris Taylor. We mentioned James Outman. Then I think it becomes all mix and match. You've got Hayward, who's a left-handed hitter. You got Peralta, who's a left-handed hitter. You got Trace, who's a right-handed hitter. And I think all those guys slot into the outfield, either center or left.
Yep, absolutely.
And I actually
positionality, Mace.
Yeah, and I don't think Jason Hayward is going to hit.
I think he reworked his swing, so you're hoping. I mean, everybody does that in spring training. I don't think it matters that much. But
Cody Bellinger reworked his swing.
Well, no, he reworked
probably three different times.
He did it. No, it wasn't three different times. It was 75,000 different times.
Yeah.
It was constant. Every game was different. But I think I'm hoping that because what the magic juju that the Dodgers have, find some way to kind of get him back on track. I think it's possible.
Bergman, are we going the
Monday? You want to go Monday?
Monday against the Rockies.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. All right. Let me pivot over to the Angels. Bill James tweeted this: Angels have the longest streak of consecutive losing seasons in the majors, 2016 to 2022. Will this year finally break through?
Wait a minute. I can think of some other teams that haven't had a winning season since 2016.
I don't know. Bill James.
Have the Tigers had a winning season since 2016?
I don't know. Bill James. It's hard to
argue. I guess they have. Have the Rangers?
Yeah, I think the Rangers win the playoffs.
The Marlins have.
Marlins have.
Yeah, that's weird.
The Orioles?
Yeah, the Orioles is another good one. The Royals? The Royals were right at the end of their run when they were going to the World Series. I think they were in the World Series in 15.
They might have been there in 16 also.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Orioles had a winning season last in let's see. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this guy's right?
Well, you're looking it up right now.
He's not making this stuff up.
Bill James is all about
Orioles
analytics.
Had a winning season last year, 83 and 79.
Okay, there you go.
Did they really?
Yeah.
last year. I would have missed that.
So the question is, will they break through this year?
The Angels.
Yes.
I don't know if they have enough pitching, and the owner is a problem.
Well, the owner can't screw it up necessarily mid-season, in the middle of the season.
All right, three-game series. Ohtani pitches game one.
Tyler Anderson pitches game two.
Tyler Anderson is probably due for a come down a little bit.
Patrick Sandoval, game
three. Probably game two.
You think Sandoval's game two?
Probably.
Tyler Anderson's game three. Yep. Reed Detmers is game four. I don't like their closer, Carlos Estevez, much. But he had a scoreless spring. I think Brandon Drury is a really good pickup. I think the season comes down to Anthony Rendon. I've said I think this team's going to win 90 games. I think this is a breakthrough year.
I hope so. Hope you're right.
And then comes mid-season, where do you trade him or do you not trade him?
Well, to everyone other than you, this is simple. You offer him a ridiculous amount of money. If he takes it, you're good. If he doesn't take it, see ya.
If you're winning, do you not owe it to your fans to roll it out?
He's too valuable. If he says, I don't want your $550 million, I'm going to free agency, you do exactly what the Nationals did with Juan Soto. You trade him. Because you don't want to get nothing for Shohei Ohtani. And by the way, after you get that package of players, then next year your chances of making the playoffs are great.
If you're 10 games over 500, I say you do not trade him because you owe it to your fans to try to win a World Series while you got him. All right. Our bracket results are in. Sadly.
Wait a minute. Nobody has any teams left?
Nobody has any teams left. You.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you.
This is my acceptance speech.
Should we have an acceptance speech?
Yes, because I won. my acceptance speech is this. Never before has anyone been rewarded for a job this mediocre in sports history, but I'll take it.
Yeah, $25,000 mythical dollars.
Should we even get mythical money for this?
We were all so bad. It was your idea.
It was Mason's idea.
Well, you always say once the ticket's cashed, the ticket spins.
Let's split it four ways.
Yep.
No, we're not going to
screw
it.
Four ways.
He won.
Give me my 25. Yeah. By the way, I lost at least that much, didn't I? Betting on that stupid pickleball tournament.
Yeah. By the way, you lost
UCLA going to the Final Four.
And then I lost $15,000 in the pickleball tournament because I bet Mason would fall down. He didn't. I bet you two idiots would win at least one match. You didn't. I think
three points.
That cost me. You got three points.
Actually,
they played against Yellow.
Yeah. Over the last four bets, not including this one, you're actually down 1,000.
There you go. So it's just getting me back to where I was.
We were going to give you the trophy for winning.
But you're afraid I would throw it?
I thought you were going to throw it.
If you give me a trophy for this, I will throw it, and then everyone will freak out. Yeah.
By the way, at the Mandy Awards, you're not even going to be allowed to hold a trophy.
Well, I'm trying to find... I'm hoping, you know, people want to ban me from crosstalk.
No, they do not.
No, one listener did.
Double the crosstalk.
Exactly. My goal now that I've been banned from crosstalk is to get banned from the Mandy's. That's my next goal. So if you hand me a trophy, I will throw it. Just in an attempt to, you know.
Now I won't give you one just to make sure you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you, the Final Four, Bergman thinks sucks and I think is great. That's coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So first round of the NCAA tournament, highest ratings since 2013. So the tournament did really well so far on CBS, on TBS, on whatever the hell True TV is. I don't know.
And Bergman, you're down on the Final Four?
Come on, man.
I want the blue bloods. I want the good teams in there. I want to see UConn. You got UConn. Yeah, they're a four seed.
And probably going to win.
Probably, because they're better than everybody else. All the tough teams were on the right side of the bracket, and the easy teams were on the left side.
I kind of like that either San Diego State or Florida Atlantic is going to be in the championship game.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
Hey, so let me ask this. Last night, Succession return. Mason hasn't seen it yet.
Bergman and I saw it. Don't say.
So, you know, there's this debate about Jeremy Strong, who's one of the actors on the show.
Yes.
And,
he's very methody.
And so somebody asked Kieran Culkin about Jeremy Strong. You know, the guy that plays Logan Murdoch, Cox. Is it Brian Cox?
Brian Cox, yes. The voice of McDonald's.
Yeah, Brian Cox says that it's a pain in the ass to act with Jeremy Strong because he's so method.
Yes.
So here's Kieran Culkin on Jeremy Strong. Quote, "The way Jeremy put it to me is that you get in the ring, you do the scene, and at the end, each actor goes to their corner."
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't a battle. Yes. It's a dance.
Yeah.
Who's right?
Oh, they're all right about Jeremy Strong. The methody stuff is ridiculous.
Because, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis is this way.
Well, he used to be an assistant to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, really?
Jeremy Strong was an assistant to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Apparently, when Daniel Day-Lewis did Lincoln, he never broke character, even when they weren't, like, shooting. They weren't shooting. They were, like, having lunch, and he would be in character.
There's a famous story about, and I will butcher the story, but when they made a movie called Marathon Man.
I remember it. Laurence Olivier, Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
Is it safe?
Is it safe?
Is it safe?
So Laurence Olivier was not a method actor.
It is regarded as one of the greatest 10 actors ever.
Right. And played the bad guy in this. And Dustin Hoffman played the victim.
Yeah.
So Dustin Hoffman was at the bottom of this well, and he stayed up all night, and he had some work done on his teeth, and he got drunk and all this stuff. And Olivier looked at him and said, "My dear boy, it's acting. You don't have to do all that stuff. You don't have to actually live the experience." But I honestly think, John, Jeremy Strong is the reason why the show is ending this year.
Because everyone's tired of it.
Everybody is tired of all that stuff.
Yeah.
But what a great show. I watched the last episode of the season, I guess season 3.
I've seen the new episode, the one that debuted last night, and you will like it.
Yeah,
if you're a fan of Succession, you will like it.
Watching Jeremy Strong in that episode, I would be so annoyed walking around talking to him on a regular basis like that.
No,
like, if he's doing that
call me Kendall.
Call you Kendall and acting like you're Kendall?
Yes. No, I'm Kendall.
It would drive me insane.
Don't call me Jeremy. I'm Kendall. How annoying is that?
What if somebody around here was like that? What if somebody, like if Sedano decided that he was always going to be like...
Sedano.
Yeah.
Shit on him.
All the time.
And he'd be like, he's not, though.
Well,
is Cappy Cappy all
Cappy
the time?
Is Cappy. Cappy,
yeah, Cappy is
Cappy.
Just Cappy.
There's no other Cappy.
Yeah. Is Ireland is Ireland.
Yeah.
Sliwa is Sliwa.
You're different.
You think I'm different?
You're on when you're on the air. When you're off the air, you're more mellow.
Correct.
That's very, very mellow. So is Sedano. Sedano's
Bergman
very
and I
mellow.
Are the same all the time.
Yeah. Yes. Sedano's mellow.
Yeah. I'm
in real life. I'm mellow in real life. Yeah. Cappy's Cappy.
Sliwa was the same.
Boss Amanda is Boss Amanda.
Yep.
Yeah, Amanda's always the same.
Yeah.
I just like to say we're real, Amanda.
Yeah,
I would like to keep it real.
Yeah, keep it real.
Word.
Exactly. IRL.
A word.
All right. Well, I've been sitting on this story for a while. Let's do it.
Which one?
Recent Pew research indicates that over 60% of young men are currently single.
Okay.
Sexual intimacy is at a 30-year low across genders.
Well, that's too bad.
Young men are not prioritizing real-life relationships and intimacy. They are basically dating sites and video games and porn. Why do you think men, especially young men under the age of 30, are having less sex?
I think you hit on it. Think about this.
Yeah.
When all of us were growing up,
yeah,
if we wanted to see naked women,
yes,
somebody would have to slip us a Playboy, or
sure,
you'd have to
find one, my dad's,
or you'd have to find a Cinemax at 2 a.m.
Yep.
And you had to go, now
and watch it through the static.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's like you go on to Pornhub and you can watch all you want.
Right.
Don't ask how I know that. The is,
but
how
like
do you know
real
that?
People, real intimates, actually getting well, some.
So what happens though is now, and I you know, because I have a teenager in my house. Well, he's just grown out of that. But what all those kids do now is they go on the internet, and then when they meet real women in person,
they don't know what to do.
Right. They think,
how do I talk to you?
Right. They think, well, if I deliver a pizza, they're going to, you know, service me.
Right.
I'm like, come on. That's not the way the world works.
Well, do you think there's some of it is that they, when you see these people on Pornhub, also, I have no idea how to find that either.
Yes, I don't either.
No, yeah, nobody does. But like, they're such beautiful, beautiful people that when you talk, you're looking at the person that you're trying to talk to, you're like, ah, well, you're not the same.
You're
type.
Not as hot as the person
right,
in the porn.
That I watch every night.
Right.
That's terrible.
And so these guys, think to themselves, I know those girls are out there. I'm going to wait till I meet one of them. And the truth is, you're surrounded by like great women who are in your world now
yep.
that you're not giving the time of day to because they're not on Pornhub.
Right.
You know, and so it makes it harder. It's not the girl's problem. This is a guy, like you started off
it
by saying.
It is a guy problem.
The guy Bill Maher had on last week
The headline is, why are so many young men single and sexless?
But, and think about this too. 70% of valedictorians in high school graduating classes in the last 3 years have been female. More women are entering the workforce and being more successful than men who don't want to work.
Right.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you got that survey, but
Psychology Today.
That's indicative of it.
Yeah.
I mean, young men are completely unmotivated. They sit around, they watch Pornhub, and they get stoned.
Now, it is a lot of Fortnite and Pornhub.
Yeah.
So, Bergman, are you single.
I am single.
Yeah, but Greg,
where are we going here?
You don't fit what
he's
we're talking.
He's not young, though.
No,
you're not.
No.
Young.
Thank you.
I'm old. He's younger.
He's divorced.
He's younger than us. But I think the fact that he's divorced makes him, in this conversation, more attractive to women, Greg, because they know you are willing.
I've been in
they
that.
They love a guy who screwed one up.
Right. But how do you know he screwed it up?
Maybe she screwed him up.
I totally agree.
Well, she did that, too.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of both. But yeah, I mean, I've also been in a 5-year relationship after all of that.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. Okay, so you can maintain a relationship.
I can maintain.
Right. What's your take on all this, Jorge?
You don't qualify for what we're talking.
Yeah,
perfect.
What's your take on all this, Jorge?
I have a 4-year-old. I'm busy. I don't have time for video games, porn, or anything like that either. So what can I say?
You can always find time for porn.
You can always make time for it. Boss Amanda, why do you think so many young men are sexless?
I think it's because they're so consumed by this video game world. So many of them are lazy, like John was saying.
Yeah.
All they do is sit at home. They play video games. Everything they do is on their phones or online. They're just unmotivated.
Yeah. And by the way, I've found, and Amanda, weigh in on this. I've found, and I've had lots of conversations with Lisa about this, is there's a belief out there that a guy will go out with anybody, that we'll go out with, you know, it doesn't matter what the woman's occupation is.
Right.
You know, if she's a stripper, more power to her.
Right,
you know, blah,
sure.
Blah, blah. And that women are more selective. I've found that women, at least Lisa and her friends, they don't care what you do. They just care that you have ambition.
Ambition is the key. Yeah, ambition
goes a long way.
I don't think that you have in your head like a prerequisite for what the guy's occupation
is.
No,
not at all.
Right. And so I think these men, what turns these women off is men who are unmotivated and don't give a crap.
Right.
They've got to be passionate about something.
Yeah.
All right. And a lot of these guys aren't. Like Amanda says, they sit around, they play video games, they watch porn.
And so many of them work from home now, too, if they work, right?
And then they have no social
interaction. They don't know how to socialize.
Yeah. A lot of people are working from home. You're not seeing. That's why I hated doing the show from home.
Yeah.
It's like so much of the show and so much of life is mixing it up with people.
By the way, I was talking to a teenage kid the other day, and I said, who are you dating now? And he goes, I'm too scared to talk to girls. I said to this guy was, you realize that
just have a beer. How old is he?
18.
Yeah, have a beer.
Freshman.
Loosen gel.
No, what I would say to him, he goes, I really don't know what to say. I go, they don't know what to say either. I said, if you go talk to a girl and you ask her out and she says no, that's not a bad thing. That's experience you're getting, and you should learn that you're not going to get what you want all the time.
Right.
You know, if she says no to you, okay, move on. But it's not bad.
You get three strikes if you're at bat.
It's not.
You can swing and
miss.
And
you're absolutely right. Women are the same way. Like, he doesn't know how to talk to women. Women don't know how to talk to men at that age either.
Right.
Yeah. We're in the same boat.
And right. Now they're right. And now they're just staying away from each other, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And like I was out to dinner with Jack, my son, I don't know, maybe a year ago, and this beautiful girl that he goes to high school with came up and talked to him. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Hey.
Like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just having dinner with my family. And she goes, how are you? Is everything good?
Yes.
Yeah.
And no, she walks away. I go, dude, you have no game.
No game.
What is?
No game at all.
That girl was trying to talk to you, yes, and you gave her a bunch of one-word answers. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I busted his chops on it. So, I mean, if you're a guy, don't be afraid to go talk to girls, and don't freak out if they say no. Just keep, you know, it's good experience. You got to learn how to talk to people.
So for all the people that are out, all the guys that are listening, playing Fortnite and watching Pornhub and playing social media.
Some of you at the same time.
I say, thank you for listening. Yes. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. But, you know, Shidano and Cappy are going to be at the 909 Inside Yamava for the national championship
on
game.
Monday?
Yeah, on Monday. And you know who's going to be there? Gary Payton is going to be there from 5 until 7 on Monday.
I sent you guys a story. Somebody was coming up with, like, they asked somebody who the best 5 trash talkers, yes, were in the NBA ever.
Yep.
And I don't take anyone's list seriously unless Gary Payton is on it.
Yeah.
The greatest trash talker of all time.
He's always drawn.
Yeah.
Always drawn.
They took him out when he played for the Lakers that one year. They took him all, Phil Jackson took him all to play paintball.
Right.
And they come back. And I see Phil in the lobby of the hotel. And I said, how'd the paintball go? He goes, well, it just goes to show that Gary Payton will talk in any circumstance. He apparently would not shut up during the paintball thing.
So that's Shidano and Cappy, college basketball national championship watch party coming up 1 week from today with Gary Payton from 5 until 7. Yamava, spectacular place. We were just there last week. Go hang out with those guys. And I promise you. Oh, no, actually, I promise you this.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
It will be a fortunate moment next Monday at Yamava. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Now, let me tell you about Jacob and Ronnie. By the way, What's Up Fools coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris. All right, so Charles Barkley was talking about Kevin Durant, and he said he's very sensitive.
On 60 Minutes, right?
I believe so, yeah. He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who thinks he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, is that a fair criticism? And then Kevin Durant responded to it.
Of course he did.
Because Awful Announcing took it and aggregated it. And he said, this ain't getting tiring, Chuck? I'll never respect the words that come out your mouth, fam. Just deal with it. Who's right in this situation?
I tend to side with Barkley. I don't understand why Kevin Durant has to respond to every slight, even if it's from an egg, like a guy with no followers.
Some kid in his basement.
Yeah. So, and
who's
Charles,
not having sex, apparently.
To answer your question about, like, Kevin Durant, aren't you getting tired of this, Chuck?
Yeah.
No, Barkley doesn't care what you think.
Right, and you shouldn't care what Barkley thinks.
Right.
Why do we put so much stock in what other people say? It's sort of like, you know, when I look at my Twitter timeline, when Ireland looks at his Twitter, you know, people will say you're an idiot and that's stupid and you should have known that and all that. Just let it roll off your back, man. Kevin Durant needs to lighten up and let it roll off his back. So he does not need to respond to everything.
You said you were listening to us call the game yesterday.
Yes.
So I got a tweet at some point during the game where somebody goes, man, Ireland sounds really depressed. Like, what's going on with him? And
well, they were down 20.
Right. And it reminded me of a story Chick Hearn told me once.
Yep.
Chick said he shows up for work one day, and Jack Kent Cook, who was the old owner of the Lakers, was a really bombastic guy.
Yeah.
And he said, and his assistant calls Chick and says, Mr. Cook would like to see you in his office right now.
Right.
And Chick goes up there, and he says, Mr. Hearn, I was listening to you broadcast the game last night, and you didn't say one nice thing about my Lakers. What do you have to say for yourself? And Chick says, well, when were you listening? He said, on my drive home, I listened to the whole first half. He goes, we started the game down 28-6. And he goes, get out of my office. You know, what do people expect?
Yeah.
I mean,
did you want to say, hey, Zach LaVine down the lane, slap!
Right, yeah. So I
like, you want to get that excited over when you're down 20 for the other team?
Right.
What are you looking for? Who's in the post and score?
Hey! Down by 30.
What's that, fool?
So we're moving on. Okay. So, do you remember when Brooke Shields was on Friends and she was dating Joey? and she sucked on Joey's finger.
Right, yeah, and she was nuts, right?
Yeah, she was just totally wet.
Yeah, Chandler and Joey both loved her, but then the more they talked to her, they found out that she was like spinning off the planet crazy.
Just totally crazy. Yeah. Well, apparently Andre Agassi was married to Brooke Shields at the time and totally lost his mind over it and was throwing trophies and throwing all these things around.
Throwing trophies?
Yeah, throwing trophies.
Just like John Ireland.
Yes.
But like, and he said, so she said that it was petulant behavior on his part.
Yep.
Isn't that kind of part of dating an actress? Like, she has to do things on screen?
Yeah, I saw this story about Penn Badgley, who does a show called You, which I've never seen.
Yeah, it's very popular on
Netflix. Yeah, it's very popular.
He was on Gossip Girl. He's a good actor.
And he has promised his wife, he's gotten married, and I don't know, it's season 4 of You or whatever, and he promised his wife that he will no longer have any on-screen intimacy with any other actress. And I thought, come on, it's acting. This is not, you know, he was upset because of the finger sucking?
Yes.
It could have been much worse, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's finger sucking. I don't know what the gigantic issue is.
It made him look like
a
fool.
She's an actor on a comedy show.
I've always kind of felt bad for Brooke Shields. She was 13 when they put her in Pretty Baby.
Yep.
And then, you know, they threw her into Blue Lagoon. I mean, basically, she's been objectified since she was 12. And then she ends up marrying a whack job tennis player.
Yeah.
So I'm Team Brooke on this.
Didn't she write a book or something? I think she might have read a book.
Not only did she write a book, but there is a Hulu or a Netflix documentary about her life coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, got it.
That's why she's in the news. Yeah.
What's up, fool?
All right, so we like watching TV shows and whatnot. So Laker Rumors, according to Lakers Nation, season 2 of Winning Time is coming back this summer.
Nice.
So
one
time they've already shot some of it. Right. Ramona has seen the first 2 episodes of the new season.
Ramona already has.
Yeah.
Oh, already saw it?
Yeah, wow. I think so.
So I remember asking you, Mason, have you seen the Shaq documentary? Because last year we got hit with the Magic, with the Shaq, and so many different NBA ones. And I asked you, are you ready for like another? And you're like, no, I'm kind of like wiped out.
Out on sports documentaries. Yeah. I watched Winning Time's not a documentary. I watched the Lakers documentary. I watched the Magic documentary. I am documentaried out. Like, I've got enough Lakers documentary stuff to last forever. It's all great stuff, but I'm done with sports documentaries.
So you said they shot some of this, John. What is it that we're going to see the second season?
If it were me, the last one ended with the Lakers beating the Sixers in the 1980 finals. I would just fast forward to Lakers Celtics 1984. Because they did a good job. Remember, they got Michael Chiklis to play Red Auerbach.
Right.
They did a good job of John C. Reilly and Chiklis kind of going at each other and blah, blah. So what if you know the history of the Lakers?
Is Jerry West isn't part of that story, right?
Oh, yeah. He was a GM the whole time.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that guy will be back.
He's going to take it to the Supreme Court.
throw a trophy out a window.
But I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And they've got to bring some new people in. Like, they got to get somebody to play my guy, James Worthy.
Right.
And he will have a very interesting aspect of that
Yes, he will.
Which he is prepared for.
Yep.
But I that's what I would do. I would skip. I'd go from 80 to 84 because the Lakers won the title in 82 and in 83, but they were playing the Sixers, and that really wasn't that big of a rivalry back then. Yeah. Lakers-Celtics takes off in 84. Because remember, Lakers won it in 80, yep. Celtics in 81, Lakers in 82, Sixers in 83, and then it became the Lakers-Celtics show. Lakers in 84, Celtics in 84, Lakers in 85, Celtics in 86, Lakers in 87, Lakers in 88.
So you get that whole run.
Yeah, you get that 5-year run.
No, that's great.
All right, what's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
The button didn't push. All right, so
how often? It seems like only during What's Up, Fool does the button
not
push.
Yeah, I think you're a bad button pusher.
It's very true. I also have a lot of buttons, and sometimes I click
the wrong
one.
Well, I have 8 pages, man.
What's up, fool? What's up, fool?
Okay. Maite. It's all right.
Stop. She's throwing a fit.
Yeah, more Maite, like, more Maite, the better.
Dad.
All right, so we've always thought of Mike Trout as kind of milk toasty.
Yeah.
He is. So he is now teaming up with Tiger Woods to build his own golf course in South Jersey. It's going to be called Trout National. And it's, I don't know, I just feel like this fits perfectly for Mike Trout.
I agree. I'll just build the golf course. Trout National.
Right.
It's like,
in South Jersey.
It even feels, it feels trouty. It feels like something Mike Trout would do. It's a little bland. It's really cool.
It's cool, but it's bland.
But it's bland. It's a bland idea. Yeah, I agree.
For lack of a better term, it is very on brand.
It is on brand, yes. Yeah, Mike Trout, I mean, you know, you got to be who you are, and that's who Mike Trout is. He's really all about business, and there will be a lot of business people, I guess, playing golf at his course.
Yeah, but it's just very funny to me that Mike Trout just sitting there thinking about the different turfs, like the dog leg left on this side.
Yes.
And there's going to be a dog leg right. We're going to put a little bit of water right there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that how it works?
That's it.
Is that how it works?
I think.
Do you think Mike Trout's deciding where a dog leg goes and where a pond goes?
No, I think they're going to get a course designer to do it. But golf courses are very expensive to maintain. Once you get them up and going,
yep,
they can make a lot of money, but they're expensive. The water bill alone is huge. The gardening bills are.
Yeah, right.
Like the golf course where we are, they have this one landscaping company. I'm guessing they don't even have to have another client.
So you
they
think
must
Tiger,
work all yeah. the time.
So Tiger doesn't design his own courses?
I think he probably does, but, I mean, he's not sitting there with a protractor and, like, you know.
He's not.
I think he gets somebody. Yeah, he gives them ideas, and they execute them.
You think he does it at a Bennigan's or wherever
likes to?
What's that, fool?
Yeah, AI. All right, so Keanu Reeves says all it would take to do a Speed 3 with him and Sandra Bullock is a great story and a great script.
Speed 2 sucked.
Yeah,
right,
Speed 2
was
terrible.
But there was
exactly.
no
cruise ship.
There was no Keanu Reeves.
No, Speed. Oh no, you're right. It was Jason Patrick.
It was Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
Right. So, but would you be interested in a Speed 3 with Keanu and Sandra Bullock?
No, I'm sped out.
You're sped out.
Yeah. It all. No. But I will say, John Wick 4. Masterpiece. Friggin' masterpiece.
Saw it?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Saw it Saturday morning, 10:20 in the morning. Just blew the doors off. It did $73 million over the weekend. I got here somewhere the death count.
Is it over 100?
It's because
the other one, the record was 117, right?
The record was 117. 140. 140 Jeez. Was the death count. Over three movies, 438 kills. This guy named Donnie Yen plays...
That's over four movies, right?
I'm sorry, over four movies, yeah. This guy named Donnie Yen plays... I can't think of the character's name, but he's a blind guy and just like totally tears everything up. It's awesome. John Wick 4, fantastic. Keanu, biggest openings in 20 years. No on Speed 2.
Speed 3.
I'm all sped out.
I don't know. I'd kind of like to see it. The first one was so good, and if you put the two of them together again, you know, they got some chemistry.
Oh, another bus?
Yeah, another bus. Yeah, what are you going to do to top that?
Yeah, what do you put them
on? Well, it's not a bus. Well, a plane?
A plane?
The plane won't
if
stop
if the plane
speeding.
Slows down to 100 Take miles
down.
An hour, slows out. I mean, what is the...
If it takes off,
yeah.
I have no idea how we're going to get there. Yeah, probably not.
What's that, fool?
Never end. Exactly. All right, so did you see that Tom Brady has acquired an ownership stake in the WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces?
Yeah.
He says, to empower the future generations of female athletes, one I have in my own family, Maya Brady, who played at UCLA. I'm ready to contribute in any way possible as a member of such a great organization. What an honor. Does this mean he's going to be a Raider since it's the LA Las Vegas Aces?
Wait, what's your question?
About him going back to play with the Raiders because he bought the Las Vegas Aces.
Why? Can somebody here explain to me why the Raiders aren't going after Lamar Jackson? Do you see Lamar Jackson demanded a trade today?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, what are they doing? Well, who's our quarterback right now?
You've got
Jimmy G.
I don't actually want Tom Brady, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean...
But like, what do you think of Tom Brady owning a WNBA team?
Good for him.
I think good for him.
Nothing wrong with
it. That's my hot take.
Good hot take.
Yeah. If it was first take, I would invent a whole big argument about it, but because it's Mason Ireland, I'm like, yeah, good for him.
What's that, fool?
That'll do it.
All right, thank you very much. All right, there's something out there, John, that truly embarrasses me about our country.
Oh, I thought you were going to say about our show.
No.
And I said, there's a lot of things out there.
I'm constantly embarrassed by that. A really crazy idea that I have that I know nobody's going to bite on. And the results, don't say them, because I don't think they've been out there yet. The results of our head-to-head Papa Shot contest on Friday.
Well, I know my result.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.